a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC, 518-291-9492.
Hello, I'm calling you up January 2nd about that phony Cuomo that was just on the news here at about 6:15. He's not but a phony. He's got five or six of his buddies going to jail. They got time to check him out. He's going to jail soon. That's, he's crazy. Listen to his nonsense. He's, thank you. He'll be next to go to jail. Just give him time. They'll be checking him out. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Pamela Badilla of Jata Jata International Folkloric Theater, and you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook, so many towns and villages and cities in Columbia and Greene County. This is listener-supported hands-on radio.
the most prolific Wadada Leo Smith, with so many recordings, so many awards, so much to say. And just at his website, reading his philosophy and language of music, and some of the many awards and that he has received just within the last 5 or 6 years. And just his output of recordings is really astounding. His website is simply wadadaleosmith.com. You can read more about that. We were just listening to this release from 2013 on Clean Feed Records. It's called Twine Forest. Wadada Leo Smith on trumpet and Angelica Sanchez on piano. We heard Light Black Birds. And going back one step, we heard the composition Looking for Light from the trio Danilo Perez, John Patitucci, and Brian Blade. That's pianist, bassist, and drummer. They released from 3 years ago, Children of the Light, on Mac Avenue Records. Pianist Danilo Perez and trumpeter Wadada Leo Smith, both December babies, both having a birth date this month. Time is now 21 minutes past 11 o'clock. I'm Cheryl Kay, the host of the Jazz Disturbance, now on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the first, second, third, and fifth Sundays of each month. No, I have nothing against the fourth Sundays. That's when I was on Thursday night. I never did the fourth Sundays, Thursdays of the month. But no, I have nothing against it. It's just the way I am. Anyway, let us move on, shall we, to the feature of the day. And the reason I came to do this show with a number of selections from pianist and composer Sakoto Fuji is, you know, it was just the end of the year, and I know a number of programmers do their end of the year roundup, the top 20, the top 30, this and that. I didn't want to do it, and I'm the most unconventional person. I just looked at all the music that I had amassed this year, and I looked at her because, well, she's done something so astounding, releasing a release every month in honor of her birthday, plus all of the other things that she's done. She's released some other things besides that. I think it's astounding. And it wasn't just in the same setting. Trios, she worked with her orchestra, on and on. And we'll go through this as we go through the show. But let me just read a little bit about Miss Fuji. In pianist and composer Sakoto Fuji's native Japan, reaching the age of 60 is traditionally so important that there's a special word for the milestone, kenreiki. It's a moment to remember life's accomplishments and to put former troubles behind you. Rather than using her kenreiki year to look back at a remarkably prolific career of more than 30 years, Fuji has produced one new release per month featuring new works for current projects, debuting special projects, and introducing new working bands. So here we are. We'll take this one that came from January of this year. This came out late January on Libra Records. Libra Records is the label that she co-founded in 1997 with her husband, trumpeter and composer Natsuki Tamura. This release is simply Satoko Fuji solo. It's all her. It was recorded live in Yumenikan Hall in the Japanese city of Yawatahama. The composition we're about to hear is called Gyarados, a luminous abstraction of metallic drones, muted strings, and raps on the piano. For a piano player, it's hard to make bad music when you have a good piano in a good acoustic space. The words from pianist and composer Sotoko Fuji about her experience in the Yumenikan Hall in the Japanese city of Yawatahama. That's where she recorded this release, put out in January on Libra Records. It's simply Sotoko Fuji solo, and we heard the tune Gerardus.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. Don't let the frackin' frackers frack you, bro.
I'm Cheryl Kay, and I've hosted the Jazz Disturbance for almost 8 years on Thursday evenings from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Well, there's been a change. Yeah, there's been a change. And yep, the Jazz Disturbance is moving to Sundays, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th, to be exact, beginning on December 9th. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvisational music from local, regional, worldwide, and world-class artists and connects listeners with the people and places presenting in the area. Tune in on Sundays beginning December 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/WGXC and via the TuneIn app on your smartphone.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Ulster County Executive Michael Hine will be stepping down from his post to serve as the Commissioner of the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo announced the appointment January 4th. The appointment is subject to approval by the state legislature. Hine is a Democrat and lives in Hurley. He was elected in 2008 as the first Ulster County executive and then re-elected in 2011 and 2015, according to Patricia Doxey, writing in the Daily Freeman. Under Ulster County law, Hine was required to create a list of succession that names who will serve as acting county executive until a special election can be held. Read more at MidHudsonNews.com and at DailyFreeman.com. Diane Bowden is reporting for the Columbia paper. Friends and colleagues are remembering former Columbia County Sheriff Paul J. Proper following his death at age 88 on December 20th. Bowden describes him as a family man, a veteran, a fireman, a rescue squad member, a fair board director, sportsman, a truck driver, and a lawman. He's remembered by those who knew him as loyal, fair-minded, kind-hearted, a devoted public servant, and ahead of his time. Proper was hired in July 1961 as the County Sheriff's Department's first full-time countywide patrol deputy. In 1965, he became the department's first and only investigator. And in 1972, he was appointed to serve as undersheriff by then-Sheriff Frank Appleton. Proper was elected sheriff in November 1976, serving from January 1977 until late 1989, but was reappointed in 2001 for a brief second tenure. Proper was responsible for the hiring of current Sheriff David Bartlett for his first job in law enforcement in 1984. Proper was a lifetime member of the Copaic Fire Company for 69 years. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Sears store in Greenport is closing. The Sears hometown store, located at 160 Fairview Avenue, announced on its Facebook page last month the store would be closing soon. It is unclear when exactly that will occur and what will happen to the store's employees. Sears Holdings Corp. did not return multiple requests for comment, Purcell writes. Sears hometown stores differ from Sears department stores because they are locally owned and operated. However, the Greenport location will join dozens of Sears outlet stores nationwide when it is shuttered. Sears filed for bankruptcy protection October 8th. After the Greenport store is closed its doors, the nearest Sears appliance store will be on Washington Avenue Extension in Albany, 40 miles away. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The Ulster County Board of Ethics has fined County Legislator Joseph Maloney $7,000 for three violations of the county ethics law. The board also recommended Maloney be suspended for a period of 3 months. In a 9-page decision dated December 31st, the board found the first-term legislator was, and I quote, either unwilling or unable to differentiate between ethical and unethical conduct, end quote. The board further said it would waive the $7,000 fine if a Socrates Democrat agreed to resign by January 10th. Maloney said this week he will not step down, and he vowed to appeal the ruling, calling it, and I quote, outrageous, end quote. He accused County Executive Michael Hine of orchestrating the decision by, and I quote, flexing his corruption muscle, end quote. The Board of Ethics acted after receiving a complaint alleging Maloney violated the county ethics law by voting in committee on a labor agreement that covered his wife's employment by voting for that same contract in full legislature, for appearing before a legislative committee to lobby for more resources for the county's comptroller's office where his wife works as a senior auditor, for introducing legislation to allow the comptroller to appoint a member to the Board of Ethics, and for arguing in a committee meeting with the comptroller's office should not be involved, and arguing in a committee meeting the comptroller's office should not be involved in an audit of the health services at the county jail. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts rain on Saturday with a high near 37 and a low around 32 Saturday night, with the rain ending around 7 p.m. Sunday, there could be scattered snow showers in the morning, with partly sunny skies later, high near 36 and a low around 12. Monday, a chance of snow after 1 p.m. with partly sunny skies, high near 27 and a low around 23. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, radio for open ears.
Like a fire hydrant, like a public drinking fountain, like a park bench, WGXC is always there for you, at your service. 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
This is the congressional report for New York's 19th Congressional District from WGXC about votes, town hall meetings, events, issues, and more. The website 538.com does not yet have a percentage for how often Representative Antonio Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions. John Faso, his predecessor, voted with Trump's positions 89.6% of the time over his 2 years in office.
Antonio Delgado takes over as congressperson for New York's 19th Congressional District this week from John Faso, and he was busy this week on Twitter. Delgado wrote, and I quote, "It's telling that even the president's outgoing chief of staff acknowledged that a border wall is not what's needed for border security. It is a political talking point and one that should not get in the way of reopening the government," end quote. Currently, the U.S. government is shut down after the president pulled out of a deal with congressional representatives of both parties to get $5 billion to build a southern border wall. Delgado wrote, and I quote, "The first task for Congress will be putting aside political games and reopening the government. I hope that Democrats and Republicans alike can work together to do so," end quote. He also mentioned that he took some time off during the holiday season to stay at Scribner's Lodge in Hunter in Greene County. Richard Moody is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Democrat Antonio Delgado is being sworn in January 3rd as the local representative of a government shutdown for 2 weeks. Delgado said, and I quote, "The government shutdown is completely irresponsible, and these repeated shutdowns exemplify the dysfunction that we need to change in Washington. I am committed to working together across the aisles to get the government reopened so we can get going on priorities for upstate New York, like improving access to quality health care, expanding rural broadband, standing up for farmers, and protecting our water infrastructure. To do this, I'll work with anyone who's willing to put their head down and get things done, Republican or Democrat," end quote. Delgado promised change locally. He said, and I quote, "I'll hold a town hall in every county of the district over the next year," end quote. John Faso, his predecessor, would not hold traditional town hall meetings with open public access during his 2 years in office. Delgado will likely cast his first vote on two stopgap bills to fund most of the government through September 30th and the Department of Homeland Security to February 8th, previously agreed upon by Republicans and Democrats before President Donald Trump reneged on the agreement. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Antonio Delgado cast his first vote in the House of Representatives January 3rd, siding with Nancy Pelosi, who was chosen as House Speaker. Delgado then voted with the Democrats for a new slate of House rules that passed 230-197, with only Democrats voting for the rules and only Republicans voting against. The next vote was mostly partisan, even though Republicans had previously backed the same measure to keep the federal government operating. When President Donald Trump pulled his support and insisted on $5 billion for a southern border wall, all but seven Republicans now voted against the bill. Delgado and the Democrats voted for it, passing the measure that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he will ignore, 241-190. Delgado was sworn in January 3rd in Washington, D.C., but he's also having a local swearing-in Saturday, January 12th at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson. The ceremony filled up with reservations quickly and has now, quote, reached capacity. On Tuesday, January 2nd, Delgado spoke with reporters on a telephone conference call before being sworn in as part of the 116th U.S. Congress. Here's a recording of that press conference on the telephone with reporters.
Hello, all. Hope all is well. Obviously, big day on this end. Very pleased to be able to speak with each of you today in advance of swearing in. It's interesting to come into office in this climate. You know, we ran a campaign on, I think in many respects, restoring people's faith in democracy and in good government and accessibility and accountability, and making sure that people understand that the government can be restored back to the people. And, you know, we are now entering into a dynamic whereby we are going into a shutdown of the government. So our faith is being tested at an incredibly high level at this point, and I think it's imperative that members of Congress work very hard to get through this process and cooperate and reach a resolution so that we can open up the government. It is incredibly irresponsible at this state to find ourselves in this position, and it is, I think, of utmost importance that we rectify this situation. And to be clear, you know, I will work with anybody to put my head down and figure out how to do it. I'm happy to get into some specifics about what I know on the table moving forward, but just understand that I'm coming into this with the mindset of we do right by the people when we actually keep the government open and do the work for the people. So it's an exciting day. It's a day that, you know, we feel good about at a personal level, I'll say. But also I'm entering into this space with the understanding that there's a lot to focus on and make sure we get back on the right page here. So thank you all again for your time.
And folks, the way that we will do questions, because there are so many that are on the line, if we could ask folks to just ask one question each first, and then if there is time for second or additional questions from others, we can go to that. But for this first round, if everyone can just ask one question, please, and please say again your name and the outlet that you're with. And if you are not speaking, just a reminder again to please mute your line. Thanks.
This is Allison Dunn with WAMC. Congressman-elect Delgado, hello.
Hi, Allison.
I wanted to know what you would vote for in terms of a continuing resolution to end the shutdown. You know, you said you'll meet with anyone, talk with anyone to get to a resolution. Will you vote for anything that includes funding for the wall at the U.S.-Mexico border?
Well, the leadership party is going to be putting forward a couple of bills today. Both of which, two packages, I should say, contain two bills. One consists of six bills already approved by the Republicans in the Senate, which would reopen all government agencies except for the Department of Homeland Security with full fiscal year funding until September 30th. That is something that the Senate has already agreed to doing in terms of the previous Congress. The second bill would extend the Department of Homeland Security's funding through February 8th, which is that the Senate voted for unanimously. So we are now proposing on the Democratic side of the aisle a bill that has already been, in essence, supported by Republicans. So if they decide to act otherwise, that would be irresponsible. And I think we are trying to act in good faith here, making sure that we are starting on terms that have already been agreed to by the other side of the aisle. To be clear, none of these bills contain new wall funding, and that, to me, is the appropriate posture.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Jennifer Hill from Hometown Oneonta, the Freeman's Journal, allofrico.com. I'm going to bring it down to our very local level here. We are wondering if you are going to open an office in Otsego County, because there hasn't been an office here represented by Congress for this area in a while.
Yes. So let me first say, I love when people ask super local questions.
Yay!
The answer is, I can't say for sure if we're going to have one in Otsego. We're certainly looking at Otsego. We're going to be opening up one in Delhi. I know that. So we are going to be out on the western side of the district. We're opening up a number of offices across the district. We're going to hope have mobile office hours, and we're going to have town halls as well. As I said over the course of my campaign, we want to have a presence in every part, in every corner of this district. Otsego is definitely an area that we want to continue to have a strong presence in. You know, very happy, you know, that we actually won Otsego County, which I think speaks to how committed we were during the campaign, and that commitment level to be maintained now that I'm in office. So whether it's going to be an actual physical office or whether it's going to be mobile offices is still up in the air, you know, but we are certainly working to have multiple office spaces spread out all across the district to make sure that people have access to me and can get casework done in a way that is efficient and productive for the folks on the ground.
Thank you.
Congressman Hugh Reynolds from Catskill Mountain News. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Staying on the local issue, it's been reported by the Chamber of Commerce that you're opening a local office, a district office in Kingston on Clinton Avenue. Can you confirm that?
That is going to happen, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I have to worry, but let the other reporters jump in.
Hi, Congressman.
Nina Schutzman with the Poughkeepsie Journal. Some lawmakers have tweeted or said publicly that they're going to refuse or donate their pay during the shutdown, and about 250 did in the 2013 shutdown. What are your thoughts on that?
thought about that. That has not been something that is, I've given a lot of thought to at this point. I think it's definitely something that is worth thought. I'm not in a position at this point to answer one way or the other. But certainly think that it's worth considering.
Thank you.
Congressman, I'm sorry, go ahead. I have my turn.
Congressman Doug LaRocque with the Eastwood Press from Eastern Rensselaer County. How are you this morning?
Good, how are you doing?
Not bad. Local issue quickly. When you did your town hall meeting during your campaign in Hoosick Falls, one of the issues you touched upon was having to look at an alternative source of drinking water for the village since theirs is contaminated with PFOA. I know it's early, you're just starting, but do you have any kind of a concept or plan or possible timetable toward any kind of federal help or impact toward that goal?
Well, what I can tell you is that I have been speaking with Representative Kildee, who, as you know, represents a district that includes Flint and has dealt with serious contamination issues. We've had several conversations since I've been in D.C. My team is communicating with his team. I've met with the leader, Leader Pelosi, on this issue as well. It's been made clear that it is a priority of mine, and rest assured that we are working very, very hard behind the scenes here to make sure that we can work out the sort of solutions that we talked about in Hoosick Falls. So that is definitely a priority of mine. I'm having those conversations. I'm working with individuals who've dealt with these issues before, and I do feel like we're heading in the right direction.
Thank you very much, Congressman. You have a good day.
You too.
Congressman, this is Jesse Smith from the Kingston Times.
Yes.
I'm working on something
Hi,
how you doing today? I'm working on something about your constituent services operation. I know you've addressed that a little bit, but I wanted to speak a little bit more just in terms of whether you plan to hire more people than were previously working on this under your predecessor or open more offices, just in general, you know, what is your constituent services operation going to look like and how will it differ from your predecessor in the office?
Yeah, it'll be, I think, a lot more robust. We're going to have more offices. I would liken it more towards, or more liken it more to Congressman Gibson, former Congressman Gibson's approach in terms of the volume or number of caseworkers that we're going to have across the district. There'll be at least four or five, if not more. We're also going to have, like I said, a number of offices across the district. We're going to have one officially opening up in Kingston, as noted. I know we have a space out in Delhi that we're going to be working out of. We're looking in places like Sullivan, Otsego, Columbia. So we are looking at areas all across the district and anticipate that we're going to have a strong presence everywhere in a very balanced fashion. I think more than that, too, we're also going to make sure that I'm doing town halls and hopefully going to have one every county before the year's end. So, you know, that is the objective. And if we can do those things and create that level of accessibility, both via the folks on the ground and in the offices, as well as me directly through town halls, not to mention we're going to have a very transparent calendar on our website. So these are the things that we're doing to make sure that people can have access and feel truly connected to their representatives.
Congressman Rich Kwan with the Sullivan Times. Good morning.
Morning.
When you decided to support Leader Pelosi, one of the things I think you mentioned was your conversation with about broadband access. And as you know, in Sullivan and beyond, it's a big issue to conduct business and just live. Can you tell us a little bit about some of your thinking about broadband and maybe something you've learned about the challenges of getting it, you know, getting more access for residents and businesses?
Well, you know, the what I have learned, particularly when it comes to how you not just great economic development and spur economic growth, but how you just level the playing field for both educational purposes and work even in the agricultural space. We're currently not operating on a level playing field right now with the lack of broadband access. And, you know, we can't expect to generate economic growth and mobility at the pace that is necessary and warranted in the 21st century if we don't have it. Now, it's a complicated endeavor because many of the reasons why you see a lack of broadband in some of the more rural parts of the district and the country, for that matter, is because much of the investment is imbalanced in terms of motivation, and that motivation is primarily profit. And so it's imperative the government steps up where appropriate, either works in conjunction with private actors or steps up and does so in the public square and do public works investment to generate real economic growth by investing in rural broadband. I think more than specifics, it's about being committed and having a priority that you are fixated on to make sure that people have what they need. I don't think this is a luxury we're talking about. It's about a need here for economic development and growth. And so, like you said, I did have a chance to speak with the leader, speak with other individuals who have worked on rural broadband or broadband access across the country in other parts of the country. I hope to team up with them and figure out how we can put together a package that can have a real impact for folks living in New York 19.
Thank you very much.
Congressman, can we ask follow-up questions on these? Can we ask follow-ups on some of these questions?
I haven't asked the first question yet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to make sure we get through everyone's first question first.
This is Dan Friedman with the Times Union. I have not asked a question. if I could bring it up just to a bit more of the cosmic level for a minute, and that would be the Senate.
I like the cosmic level.
I'm sure you do. So do I. The Senate, Mitch McConnell has said he will not support anything coming over from the Democratic House that does not have the support of President Trump. So it seems at this point as though the legislation the House passes today with your vote will be DOA in the Senate. And I'm just wondering, is there anything that you can see that's going to take this beyond a standoff, who blinks first kind of situation?
It's hard to, and I don't like to engage in predicting into the future, particularly about matters of such importance. I will say this, though. I think it is very hard to comprehend how you can present, Democrats can present a package which Republicans have in effect already voted on and displayed that they would support. And then about face and simply say, no, not now. When we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people whose pay is at risk, departments who will be shut down and people who rely on these services will be shuttered out, it makes no sense, zero sense. And so the onus ought to be on the individuals and the party that sees fit to change course purely out of politics, at the expense of the very people that they're here to serve.
Thank you.
Congressman, this is Daily Gazette. How you doing today?
All right. How you doing?
Not too bad. So I just wanted to, because the one thing that I know, I think a few of us asked you kind of last time we did this, and I think I may have asked you this as well, something you said you didn't have clear visibility on, and now that you've been in D.C. A little bit and had these conversations, in terms of committee assignments, I mean, do you have any indication of where you're going to be on this? And I apologize if it's something that's been reported, but I just figured I'd at least kind of ask the question kind of on my end.
I mean, I have said that I've long wanted to be on the Agriculture Committee as well as the Infrastructure Committee as well. I pushed very hard with my team to make sure that we can land on one or two of those committees.
I think for the reasons that I've discussed in the past, being on those committees would allow me to do the work that I think could be most impactful for my constituents, for the farmers, small business here, family farmers who are looking for real advocacy on that committee to fight for lower dairy prices and to fight for opportunities to access markets and better diversification of organic certification and things of that like. Obviously, of the farm bill that just passed, so implementation of that is very important. And then on the infrastructure side, we have a number of issues there, whether it's the lack of broadband, whether it's the roads, the tumbling roads, the bridges, transportation, public transportation, or lack thereof. These are things that I think for our district specifically, I can really be an advocate for. So I've made these points abundantly clear, and you know, we'll find out in the coming weeks where this all shakes out. And you know, that's what I can do at this point.
Thank you for that.
Congressman, this is Gabe Altieri from WSKG in Binghamton. I'm curious if the shutdown has led to maybe a quicker learning curve for you as you get settled in there.
Yes.
Yes.
This is not a normal situation, you know? So you come in and, you know, you have to figure out the rules of the road pretty quickly and make sure you got good people around you. And we're definitely doing that. You know, I like to make informed decisions. I like to make sure that I do my homework and that I understand, you know, the implications of every choice that I make. So with that, and given the time crunch here, yes, it, you know, you have to be really on top of it to make sure that you're doing right by the folks who sent you here.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Arielle Dangla from the Daily Freeman. I just wanted to follow up. I know that you mentioned that you're working to get your district offices up and running and you've got your eye on a couple different places, but how soon can constituents expect your offices to open, and what do they do in the meantime if they want to reach out to you and have conversations with your staff and with you?
Well, we plan to open up the office in Kingston this month. So our headquarters will be open this month. January, to be exact. And I know we have the office out in Del High that will be opening, I think, relatively soon as well. Beyond that, and like I said, we'll be having offices opening up on a rolling out basis thereafter. Beyond that, like I said, I'll be doing town halls fairly soon. Also, you can go to the website. Our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, call our headquarters as well. So we have a number of touch points that people can reach out to get access and to, you know, make sure that I get a sense of what their concerns are. So that is how we're proceeding. But definitely very